You know, there is a crier in every family, I think. Unfortunately, I'm the one in ours. I pray God would bless me to keep my emotions in check as I stand before you this morning, because today has been just outstanding. God has richly blessed, and I pray for just a little while longer, He will continue to be with us as I stand before you. Brother James, kindly, you preached about 25% of my sermon this morning, and I really was worried about it. But then I believe God blessed the message tonight. Was amazing as well, and so thankful for it. And I want to pick up right where he left off. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? I'm not going to talk about that, but it's good. Then he says, after a lot of teaching, stand fast, therefore. I don't know why I'm emotional right now. I just, dang, darn it. Maybe that will help me not be emotional, because I miss it. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, I am thankful that I am speaking to folks, I trust, that understand all that is being said there and all that goes into what Paul was saying. Certainly don't have the time. What I want to focus on is the fact that he says, if you think you need to do something. I love what Paul said a little bit earlier, that I, through the law, am dead to the law. Paul used the law to come to the understanding that the law could not justify man. And so that's why he's on to the Galatians so much, that they're trying to do the same thing about you. You've heard this wonderful grace. You've heard of this, felt this wonderful liberty when you hear about the finished work of Christ. And now you've been bewitched to go back under some law, whether it's circumcision or whatever, because it still happens today. Why would you do that and take away the freedom that you have when you're blessed to see the finished work of Christ? If that has happened to you, you don't fall eternally out of the grace of God. Of course not. But in a way, Christ has become no effect unto you anymore, and you've fallen from grace. It reminds me of the phrase, and Brother Conley mentioned it this morning, of you know, we're associated with this phrase, once saved, always saved, right? Anytime I've ever, you know, and it's not, that's not, I don't like that phrase, actually, myself personally, I'll tell you why. But, you know, that's not a phrase that we're under the trees hard shelling, you know, preachers, members, we're not saying, oh, well, you know, that once saved, always saved doctrine. We don't talk about that. It's always someone on the outside that would say, oh, you believe in once saved, always saved. It's like, you know, if I can I take an hour to really explain that kind of, sort of, but that's not the best way to put it. I was amazed in doing a little research, not in the Word of God, but just as far as men's writings currently, I was amazed at, if you do a Google search on once saved, always saved, article after article after article comes up that's negative. Yeah. All of them are negative about this. Of these people, there are still people today that still hold to this horrible old-fashioned doctrine of once saved, always saved, like it's a bad thing. How is that a bad thing? But I don't necessarily care for it. And the reason why I don't is because I don't have the opportunity or the time when we discuss that with someone to explain to them, because most likely they do not understand the difference in the different aspects of salvation. But basically that yeah, when you're talking about once saved, always saved, it's eternal. For lack of a better term, it's our eternal salvation. It's the salvation from our sins the salvation of taking us out of death and depravity and the law of sin and death, and blessing us with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, right? And taking us out of a sinful state into a glorious state. That salvation, that eternal salvation, is definite. It is effectual. It cannot be, and I had nothing, and you didn't either, to do with it. But there is aspect of deliverance, if you would, really makes more sense to me in a way, to understand that there are many deliverances that we experience every day.
Right.
The timely salvation, timely deliverance. Amen. And my favorite scripture to prove that there is a salvation in this life that is apart from the definiteness, I don't know if that's a word, but let's do it, okay. The effectualness of God's salvation from our sins. And that is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. You cannot deny their salvation, not only in this life, but in hearing, receiving, standing, and remembering the message of the gospel that was preached to you. Right. He says that. I'm not going to take the time to read it. Y'all know it. Yeah. All right? And I tell you what, how many times I've done it myself. You know, you go to a meeting, you come back. I hope and pray. I don't go back to Arkansas and someone how was the camp meeting? Oh my gosh, it was great. The Lord richly blessed. You should have heard Elder so and so preach the best sermon of his life. Okay, what did he preach? Well, I don't know, but it was the best sermon I've ever heard him preach. I've lost out on that salvation because Paul says it's got to be preached. You got to receive it. You got to stand it, and you got to keep it in memory. I tell you what, so, all right, that's not my subject either. All right, so, always saved, once saved. Instead of that, what they're talking about is Christ's effectual work. Christ's work of salvation, of eternal salvation, is effectual. It's effectual. So, I want to go to just a few places that are used to this argument. And, Brother... John, Brother John, yes, okay, I just gotta stop. Talked about it this morning, John chapter 10, that's what I'm trying to say, John. John chapter 10, not John Conley, I'm sorry, I know he didn't say it. James, sorry, Brother James. James, son of John, thank you. All right, stop it, David, stop it. In the book of John, chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life. All right? The argument is that, see, you got to follow. But I'm not going to go through it because we already heard it this morning very eloquently that, yes, we will follow. We will follow. God will call. We will hear the voice of the Son of God. We will be raised from our state of sin and depravity. We will heed that voice. We will be given life, and we will follow Christ in that act of regeneration. That is effectual, and nothing I can do can not make that happen. All right, so that's one of them. 1 John chapter 3 is another argument that is used. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Amen to that. The argument is, see, that seed has to remain in you. That seed has to remain in you. And guess what? The parable of the sower teaches us that Satan can take that word out of you. Well, let's rightly divide the word of God and understand that, yes, the preached word, I could receive it, I could stand in it, and Satan could take that away if I allow him to. But the living word is a factual, and Satan can't change that. All right? We are regenerated by the living word, the word that abideth and liveth forever. And because of that, dear friends, that seed that is planted abides in us forever. Satan can't take that. I can't take it. It abides in us forever. It is effectual and always effectual. Hebrews chapter 3 is another place that folks will go to preach against this horrible doctrine of God's effectual working in the work of salvation. But Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So one will say, see, you can depart from the living God. Guess what? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But let's understand that is talking about our daily walk. All right? That's talking about, yes, I could depart from the living God. And in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, that's talking about a rest now. All right? A rest here in the church of the living God. A rest that is given to us as we hear the beautiful gospel message. That's not talking about an eternal rest. That eternal rest is secure. It is secure. One of my favorite places, speaking of that security of eternal rest, would be we'll get to that. Let's first of all go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Amen. I agree with it. The argument is, see, you have to do these things to keep from falling. Well, I agree, but they're talking about, what are they talking about? What is Peter talking about here? He's talking about three things. First of all, he is talking about verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Dear friends, I believe that's talking about right now. I mean, yeah, we are partakers of the divine nature, eternally speaking, but I guess you could say that. But Peter is talking here about in your walk, in your life, you can partake of it now. You could have a taste of it now. You could be a partaker of that now. Not only a partaker, but then in verse 8, he says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the context of Peter talking about if you do these things, you shall never fall, he's talking about knowledge. Yeah. He's talking about understanding. Right. He's talking about being a partaker as you know more about God and as you understand more about the finished work of Christ. What a blessing that is. He says, you know, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall, for so... fault. Thank you. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I agree with the thoughts this morning that kingdom, certainly it can be heaven, it can be here, it can be, I mean, it's just, it can, it, there's the spiritual, I mean, it's something that is beyond my full comprehension. But I believe, dear friends, when we are blessed with the wonderful knowledge of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then when we do are diligent and we do the things that the Word of God instructs us to do, and in doing those things, we make our calling and election sure, not to God. He already knows, friends. It's making it sure to us. We understand that knowledge becomes even brighter, even better. Our hope, our faith is stronger. Our hope is brighter. And as we do those things, we won't be like the one that forgotteth.
Yeah.
Can you imagine forgetting that you were purged from your old sins? I tell you what, dear friends, not long ago, just a few weeks ago, I spoke with someone in that very condition. And it's just amazing. It's a lady at work. She grew up Christian. She believed she was saved. And not in the right way, but you know, I mean, she believed she was a child of God and everything. She, when she got older, she denounced Christ. She is now a Noahite. And so she's following the Jewish religion and has denounced Christ. So to me, she's forgotten that she was purged. She's looking for a Messiah. Can you imagine? No, no. She's looking for a Messiah to come. Friends, He came.
Yeah.
He died for us. Yeah. He saved us from our sins. They've been put away. Yeah. We heard it. They've been nailed to the cross and put away from us as far as the east is from the west. Oh, not being like that person who might have forgotten. They're still a child of God,
sure.
But they forgot they were purged from their old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, don't be like that, but make your calling and election sure, and then you know what God does? He does what He did today.
Yeah.
He administered an entrance into the kingdom of God. And friends, I was blessed today.
Amen.
To enter that. Through the door that He opened for us. We've been blessed to enter the kingdom, friends. Because I've seen the King. In the preaching and in the singing and even in the fellowship. 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible. All right, if you want to say once saved, always saved, that's fine. But what I believe is talking about the effectual work of Christ on the cross. You know what? It secured some things. It attained some things. And those things are assured. They're assured to an inheritance incorruptible. Undefiled. It fades not away, and it is reserved in heaven for you. You know, last night, Sister Judy couldn't come down, which was a blessing for me. I hate that she wasn't able to make it, but it opened up a bed for me in Brother Mike's room. And so I get there about midnight last night or early this morning. I knock on the door. Guess what? No one answers. Oh, it's like, oh, I'm going to open up. I'm going to wake up all the neighbor, you know, all the neighboring, all the other rooms. Now. So I knock a little louder. There's no response. All right. I'm beginning to wonder, did I have a reservation? I thought I did. But I was beginning to wonder. So I call him. I'll go straight to a voicemail. He didn't answer that. So I send him a text. Thankfully, his phone went ding. Which woke up my brother Mike, and he came and opened the door, and I had a place to stay. I tell you what, dear friends, heaven's not like that. I have no doubt that that inheritance is reserved in heaven for us.
Yes.
And we're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last day. My favorite part of that is the fact that that salvation is already ready. It's already ready. Saw a sign one time. You going to heaven? Are you ready? Are you ready? Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you to fall from the liberty, the truth that has set you free, to go back under the bondage, to think now you got to ready yourself. It's already ready.
Amen.
You're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation ready. It's already ready. But it will be revealed in its fullness, in its totality, at the last day. Right? We get a little bit of it now. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now, the argument is, see, it's through faith. You got to be faithful. In order for this incorruptible, undefiled, reserved inheritance to be yours, you got to be faithful. That's not the way I read it. Because listen, the emphasis right there on that whole verse is on God. Yes. We're kept. How? By the power of God.
Amen.
All right? By is the means. The means that we are kept is the power of God. The channel by which we're kept is through faith. And unto is the result. Unto salvation that is ready to be revealed. I read this quote. A Christian who loses his faith still saved? ? It's a resounding no. Oh my gosh. Isn't that awful? Is a Christian who loses his faith still saved? It's a resounding no. Guess what? I say a resounding yes if you're talking about the salvation that God secured for us in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of places we could go, but I just want to jump to my conclusion.
Amen.
Thank you. Always enjoy an amen out of my brother. For I am persuaded that neither death, Brother James, I remember you preaching on that one years ago. You so eloquently said, not even suicide. I'm persuaded, Paul says, I am persuaded that not death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. I love this one. Nor things present or things to come, because my gracious, we've seen some things that I never would have imagined. And I'm sure that will continue to, I'm sure my grandkids, they're so precious, would see things that I truly never imagined. Doesn't matter, it's covered. It's covered. Not things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to take us, to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, that's security. That's a surety. That's a there's definite's got to be in there somewhere. A definitiveness. Something. You know, so much is said. I think people got it pretty straight right now as far as Old Baptists. But, it's a lot of it said about, certainly outside of Romans chapter 10. And it is hard. If the Lord has not opened your eyes to understand the difference between the different aspects of salvation, Romans chapter 10 is hard to understand. right? If you think salvation just means eternal deliverance. But listen, here's how, to me, this puts Romans 10 in such wonderful perspective. Read the last two verses of Romans 8 and the first two verses of Romans 10. All right, Romans 9 is very important, extremely good. But just listen to this. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. He just said nothing can separate God's people from God's love.
That's right.
So 10 has to be talking about a different aspect of deliverance.
Yes.
Has to. Amen. It has to. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 tells us that God has made us accepted in the Beloved. And my favorite verse, I don't see how, I don't know if it's my favorite verse of all the Bible, but it's up there. Okay, it's really up there. It's Romans 3. And, well, where is it? Verse 3, Romans 3 and 3. I don't see how you argue this. I really don't. But what if some don't believe? Do you not hear that a lot in your conversations with your acquaintances? You know, but what if some do not believe? Friends, shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. That is not true. Our belief, whether we believe it or not, does not affect God's work. He has saved us. He has called us. He has secured us. He's obtained. Well, there's another one, right? Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Secure. Once saved, always saved. I don't really care for it. But what I believe in is that God's work of eternal salvation is effectual. And nothing, not the devil, not governments, not anything I could ever conceive or perceive can separate us, can take that away. Because we are kept by His power. God bless you, my friend.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Ecclesiastes 1 and 9 ends with this statement. There is no new thing under the sun. Every generation, including ours now, has said, woe is me. Let me tell you, my friend, there's no new thing under the sun. Sin is sin. God's the answer. And greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There is no new thing under the sun. Don't get so despondent with that. The answer is still God.
Amen.
There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I'm excited about tomorrow. I'm excited about next year. I'm excited about the next 5 years. I'm excited about the next 10 years. I think the future of the Old Baptist Church is in a wonderful place, my friend. Why would God be raising up gifts like he is if he didn't have a future for the church right here? Don't allow things like that to interfere with you. There's nothing new about it. It's just old junk wrapped up in different paper. And the answer is the same. God save us. That's the answer.
Amen.
God will save us. God has saved us. How can you sit under today and think God is concerned about it? Let's sing a song. I'm going to step on my toes a little bit.